Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Tito, Ai Weiwei, Yours Truly, and Helmut Newton, The Bad and the Beautiful. Hi, David. These look elevating.
Jill.
How are you?
I am doing okay, thanks. How are you doing this week?
Powerless, but soon we will be fine.
I'm glad to hear that soon you will be fine, and I'm sorry that you are powerless for the moment. But of course, that only means, I'm sure, electrical powerless, not spiritual powerless.
Correct.
Okay. Well, yeah, three films this week, and I have to say that each one of them I found disappointing in different ways. Not bad necessarily, but disappointed. So I thought, let's talk about those, and then maybe just sort of to make up for my grumpiness about these particular new movies and what seems to be the current crop of new movies, I thought maybe I'd just give a little reminder of some of the really excellent movies that have come out so far this year. And in this age when most movie theaters remain closed and so many things are streaming, which are still very much available to people who are willing to just poke around and look for them a little bit on the internet. But anyway, for the three movies that I want to talk about now that have come out just recently, let's talk about, first of all, Tito, which is a movie which is directed by and written by and starring Grace Glowicki, who is a young Canadian filmmaker. And it's a very, very unusual film. It's really an experimental film, an avant-garde film. It's unconventional in just about all ways. And Grace Glowicki plays the title character, whose name is Tito, who is, by the way, apparently a man. So we have Grace Glowicki, who is I guess one would say, identifies as a female in normal situations, who is now playing a male character named Tito, which is just fine, and which has, of course, a long, long history of people gender bending in areas of performance. But she plays this very unconventional character, who is a young man who apparently almost never leaves his house. And is very, very neurotic and afraid of the world, and carries around a whistle to blow in moments of panic, and it just seems to be a complete recluse in every way. And into young Tito's life comes along another character whose name is John, played by Ben Petrie, who is the opposite sort of a character, who is outgoing and embraces life and seems to enjoy living and all of that, sort of barges into the house. It says, gee, I noticed you in here and you never seem to come out, and so I thought I'd come by and cook you some breakfast. And it takes Tito a while to adjust to this idea. Tito is absolutely terrified of this. But young John appears to be so forthcoming and so sort of aggressively friendly that Tito eventually gives way, and the two of them strike up a relationship. And before you know it, they're leaving the house together, and Tito is getting outside a little bit, and eventually they even go off to a nightclub where the big project is to try to pick up some girls, and various things happen from there on. So again, none of this is told in a conventional way. The movie is unconventional in just about every way, starting with the fact that the main character, apparently male, is played by a female actor. And thus the story is completely minimalist, and I found it engrossing in an odd sort of way. One of the virtues of Tito is that it's only about an hour and 10 minutes long. I think one more minute would have been too much to handle. And even at that, I don't think it's an experiment that quite works. But I think that Grace Glowicki and Ben Petrie, who play the only two real characters in the film, are a very interesting team. They've made one film before this, which Ben Petrie directed. I think that with their kind of experimental impulses and their desire to break all sorts of, well, let's say bend all sorts of categories from genre to narrative structure to gender, I think that they maybe are capable of very interesting work. Tito just gestures in the direction of that work. I will be very interested, though, to see if they follow up with this with maybe work which is maybe more fully realized. In the meanwhile, Tito is certainly worth checking out for anybody who wants to check out something which is completely different from the normal run of movies. It's a very, very strange and experimental film. Two other films I'd like to talk about briefly today are both documentaries, and all three of our films today actually have people's names in the title. The second one is called Ai Weiwei, Yours Truly, which is about the very major Chinese activist and artist Ai Weiwei, who had an exhibition some time ago on Alcatraz Island in San Francisco, the old prison building, or prison island, I should say. And that is what this was way back in 2014. And this exhibition, which was called At Large, Ai Weiwei on Alcatraz, was organized by the director of this documentary film about the expedition, the exhibition, Cheryl Haynes. And basically, at that time, Ai Weiwei was being, the Chinese government was very much sitting on him. They had taken away his passport. He was not able to come to San Francisco to put together the exhibition or to be present at it. But the thing was put together by, again, this curator, Cheryl Haynes, who also made this documentary about it. And that is very much what this documentary is about. It's about the exhibition, and we see a lot of footage of Ai Weiwei talking about it and discussing it and putting it together and so forth and the concepts for it. So Ai Weiwei is a dissident who is in sort of constant trouble with the Chinese government. And this exhibition was a sort of a salute to other dissidents like him, all the way from other people in countries all around the globe nowadays who have been protesting and are raising a ruckus with their oppressive governments. And going back to, you know, even a figure like Martin Luther King, who is very much one of these. So what Ai Weiwei did was, various things in this exhibition. There's an enormous figure of a sort of a bird-like creature made out of sort of scrap materials which is meant to symbolize freedom and the difficulties of freedom. A major highlight of this exhibition were portraits of all these different dissidents from all around the world and from various different decades made out of Lego components, all this kind of thing. So this movie is very much about the concepts behind the exhibition itself, the people who came to it, and then very much sort of maybe crowning touch on the exhibition was that people who went to the exhibition were then invited to write postcards to the real dissidents in all these different parts of the world, expressing their feelings, expressing their thoughts, and using postcards, because a lot of these people don't have access to the internet. And of course, there's no way of knowing whether these postcards would get through. But people could write postcards expressing their appreciation, their thanks, their gratitude for what these various dissidents have been doing in various parts of the world. So, and there's a lot about that. And we see a bunch of the postcards, and we hear people talking about their postcards, and we find out that quite a number of them did get through to some of these dissidents in various places. Ai Weiwei is a very noble subject, and I'm glad it was made, and I think it's just fine if a lot of people see it. I have to say that as a movie, I did not like it at all. As a documentary, it just doesn't get into any depth about anything. It's very, very superficial. It's superficial about the artist's motivations. It doesn't analyze the work itself. It just sort of gives us little fleeting glimpses of it. And above all, it has an awful music track, which drove me crazy. We have footage of people protesting in the streets. We have footage of what appears to be imminent violence to be inflicted on protesters. We have people talking about the desperate need for people to come out from under the oppression being inflicted on them by their governments. Almost all of it drowned in this syrupy, sentimental music that I think wants to make us not feel bad as we watch this documentary about sometimes very tough material. But, you know, the material should make us feel bad. This movie is about horrible troubles being suffered in various parts of the world and people who are courageously standing up against it. And the fact that the whole tone of the movie, including very much its music, is meant to be sort of comforting and soothing and syrupy, I just disapproved of that altogether. So again, I salute Ai Weiwei for taking on a very important subject and a very important artist. I only wish it had done a better job of treating it. And I hope that future efforts of filmmaking by Cheryl Haynes and company are more tough-minded in the spirit of the material that they're really dealing with here. And our final movie, Helmut Newton, The Bad and the Beautiful, is about the legendary photographer who died not that long ago. He was a fashion photographer. So here we have a movie which doesn't deal with the world of political protest and that kind of thing. It deals with the world of aesthetics. But Helmut Newton was very, very much a naughty guy. who was always pushing the envelope in fashion photography and photography generally, bending gender and putting things into totally unexpected and irascible contexts and that sort of thing. An incredibly gifted photographer who really had a tremendous impact on the world of photography and worked with an enormous number of hugely important models and performers and so forth. And that's very much what this movie is about. It was, by the way, directed by Gero von Böhm and is mainly a German movie. And it deals with Newton's. We get a bit about his biography and how he got into photography in the first place and how he began to develop what became his aesthetic, but mainly we have a whole lot of views of him taking his photographs. We have interviews, talking at interviews with various people he's photographed over the years and worked with pretty closely, ranging from Marianne Faithfull and Grace Jones to Isabella Rossellini, who, by the way, is totally charming. Charlotte Rampling, Catherine Deneuve, Anna Wintour, the editor of Vogue, all these different people who he worked with over the years. So he emerges as a very compelling screen figure. It's fascinating to hear him talk. Again, I wish, as in the case of the Ai Weiwei movie, I wish that there were more analysis, that there were more getting into the kind of aesthetic implications of all this and the real sort of nitty-gritty of the impact that he had on the world of photography, as opposed to sort of a general vague sense that, well, he was sort of a bad boy and he sure did enjoy, you know, breaking the rules and that kind of thing. But it's an entertaining movie. I certainly had a good time watching it, and it's got a whole lot of very, very strong imagery from all those terrific Helmut Newton photographs. So those are the three movies I really want to talk about this week. And as I say, for different reasons, I thought each of them was worthwhile in what it sort of set out to do, but not entirely worthwhile in how it actually accomplished those things. So I thought, hey, what the heck? Why not go back and just remind folks of some of the really excellent movies that have been out so far this year, and which, as I said earlier, you can just stream these things, search around, poke around for them. They are pretty much available, still around. So let me start out by mentioning what I think is actually probably, in many ways, the best movie I saw this year so far. We're only in August, after all. And that is a British film called Sorry We Missed You by the very great British filmmaker Ken Loach. Ken Loach is very well known, deservedly so, for his dealing almost always, not always, but almost always in his films over the decades with political issues, social issues, cultural issues. And he very much deals with that here. The main character is a gig worker, a guy who takes a job which he has promised is going to allow him to control his life and be able to look after his family and earn enough money to support everybody while maintaining a certain flexibility in his hours and that sort of thing, which all turns out to be a total lie. The idea of being a gig worker turns out, in his case at least, to be absolutely controlled by the forces of capitalism, which is, I'm sure, how Ken Loach sees it. And this movie is a very, very human, affecting drama, brilliantly acted, a superb family drama, and a marvelous indictment of the system that we live in nowadays, where so many of us are striving for a little bit more freedom in the way we live our lives and often missing it because of the way the system sort of is activated against us. So, and again, I don't mean to say that this is just a political movie with a message that we ought to learn. It is an enormously effective family drama, and I found it enormously moving to watch. Second movie I'll mention is First Cow by the great American filmmaker Kelly Reichardt. This is basically a Western about a couple of guys who start selling a little pastry of theirs in back around in the turn of the century, the turn of the 20th century, in the Oregon Territory. They, in order to make their little pastries, which they sell and they earn a living from, they have to steal milk from a local cow in the area. That's why the movie is called First Cow. And it's a very, very humane movie, a funny movie, a deeply affecting human drama, a kind of a Western in an unconventional sort of a way, but mainly an exercise in Kelly Reichardt's style of filmmaking, which is so subtle and so offbeat, and it just gets to you and doesn't go away. And I could not recommend First Cow more highly. A little movie called Driveways, the last movie made by the fine actor Brian Dennehy, and it was a movie directed by Andre Ahn, and it's about the unlikely friendship between an old Korean War veteran and a very, very young person. And sounds like sort of a corny topic, but it is beautifully written and directed one of the best movies of the year. Shirley, a little biopic about the fine author, Shirley Jackson, directed by Josephine Decker. Shirley Jackson played by Elizabeth Moss in a searing performance, Never Rarely, Sometimes Always, by Eliza Hittman, who is a very, very fine filmmaker. And this is, again, a very affecting human drama about a young woman who needs an abortion, a movie about a very pressing social issue of our time, which, again, just is such an intelligent and emotionally mature film. I could not recommend it more highly. And two movies by hugely important filmmakers, The Irishman by Martin Scorsese, which is about 4 hours long, but which is a good movie with Robert De Niro and a whole lot of Scorsese stars. Well, not one of Scorsese's best movies, but a very good movie. And finally, I'll mention The Five Bloods by Spike Lee, a movie which looks back at the African-American experience in the Vietnam War, and which is a hugely intelligent and ambitious movie by far and away the most important of all African-American filmmakers. Spike Lee is back on his game, and it's a fabulous movie. So that is my somewhat heterodox story this week, Jill, but those are movies that are very worth checking out.
Good word. Thank you very much, David Sterrett, Films in Focus. The films Tito, Ai Weiwei, Yours Truly, Helmut Newton, The Bad and the Beautiful, and a list of films worth checking out.